The price for the fulfillment of what God has said about you is living a life of word, prayer, and praise. Join Pastor Victor Kuforiji as he takes you on a journey of positive transformation and impact through God's word.
And welcome at least one neighbor and tell him or her welcome to God's presence. And please be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's my pleasure to welcome you to God's presence tonight. And we are grateful to God for his mercies and for his grace that has brought us to his presence again tonight. And I know that in this service tonight, somebody's testimony is sure in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that the year has not ended. God can still do miracles in your life. God did some very drastic miracles in my life this week. Yesterday, Monday, Tuesday, and of course today. Very drastic. Very drastic. And I pray for somebody here today. This prayer I want to pray for you is very serious. The God that helps me will help you. I said the same God that helps me will help you. The same God that raises help for me when I need help will raise help for you. The same God that uses people that are not even believers for me will help you. So shall it be. Please be seated. We had a very great time on Sunday to the glory of God. We started our series of teachings that will launch us into the new year. And tonight I'm privileged to be sharing with us the second in this series of teachings that is preparing us for the new year. Strategy for a glorious future. Strategy for a glorious future. Are you ready for this tonight? And like I said on Sunday, God's plan for you is to have a good destiny, which will end in glory. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Romans chapter 8 verse 30. Whom he predestined, moreover whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. So the end of every Christian is to enjoy glory, is to be blessed, to have a great future. That will be your testimony. I said that will be your testimony. You can live your life, all the days of your life, blessed like God wants it to be. And for this to happen, you need a strategy. Without a strategy, there cannot be distinction in life. Everyone who wins has a strategy with which others don't have. Now, quickly tonight, because of the volume of what we are covering tonight, I'll be fast, trusting the Holy Spirit for speed tonight. What is a strategy? It is a plan of action designed to achieve a long-term overall aim or goal. A strategy is a plan of action designed to achieve a long-term overall aim or goal. Thank you, media. Number two, what is strategy? It is a plan for obtaining a specific goal or result. A plan to obtain a goal or to obtain a result. Number three, what is a strategy? A strategy is a plan to achieve something great. Somebody is here under the sound of my voice. You will achieve something great. No matter where you are watching me from right now in Nigeria or anywhere in the world, you will achieve something great. And like I said tonight, strategy for a glorious future. What is future? What is future? It is time. It's called a later time or time to come. What is to come in a later time? That's the future. What is to come in a later time or in a future period? So, strategy for a glorious future can be defined as plan of action or policy designed to achieve a major overall aim at a later time. I come again. What is a strategy for a glorious future? Is a plan of action or policy designed to achieve a major overall aim at a later time. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 to 31. Luke 14, 20. Now look at this. It says, which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. You will never be mocked in Jesus' name. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king going to make war against another king, seated not down first, and counted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. When we are talking about the strategy that will bring your great future, we are talking of planning. Somebody say planning. So, important facts about strategies tonight. Important facts about strategies. Number one is that strategy is important for a glorious future. Strategy is important for a glorious future. Number two, good strategies always bring distinctions. Why poor strategies bring tragedy? Good strategy always bring a glorious future, whereas poor strategy bring tragedy. You will never suffer tragedy. Number three, facts about strategy is that every stage of life needs a new strategy. Every stage of life needs a new strategy. When you were in secondary school, he has his own strategy. When you are in university, he has his own strategy. When you begin to work, he has his own strategy. When you get married, he has his own strategy. Every phase of life needs new strategy. Somebody with me tonight, shout a big hallelujah. Number four, fact about strategy is that the world is ruled by those who have good strategy. The world is ruled by those who have the correct strategy that will help them to win. The world is ruled by those who have the correct strategy that will help them to be able to win. Number five, no one can get into a future he did not prepare for. No one can assess a future that he did not have a strategy for. Your future cannot be better than your strategy. You can't just bump into a future that you did not prepare for. Number six, poor planning or strategy is the reason for poor performance. Number six, am I too fast? Hallelujah. Number one, strategy is important for a glorious future. Because we have so much to cover, that's why I'm moving so fast, but I will slow down now. Number two, good strategy always brings distinction, while poor strategy always brings tragedy. Am I moving at your pace now? Number three, every stage of your life needs a new strategy. Every stage of your life needs a new strategy. Number four, the world is ruled by those who have a good or correct strategy. The world is ruled by men who have the good strategy. Number five, no one gets into a future he did not prepare for. You can't just see, I just said that my future is just great like this. I don't know how it happened, no. I did not do anything, I did not prepare for it, too. I just saw that, I just became, no, it doesn't happen that way. No one gets into a future he did not prepare for. Number six, poor planning is the reason for poor performance. Poor strategy, poor planning is the reason for poor performance. You are in for something tonight. Number seven, strategy is not static. The strategy you used yesterday may have to be upgraded today for it to be useful. Strategy is not static. You can't say, this is the way we have been doing it since my grandfather, my father, then my own life. No, it doesn't work that way. Strategy is not static. Strategy must be continuously upgraded so that you can remain relevant and you can remain successful. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Sorry, God just gave me a strategy, so I noted it down. Hallelujah. Number eight. Success in any area is not a function of luck, but strategy. Success in any area is not a function of luck, but strategy. Success in any area is not a function of luck, but strategy. For your strategies to come to pass, you need what we call planning or what we call preparation. That's why we are here tonight. So every disorder is a function of poor planning or poor strategy. If you look at the story of creation, you will see that God is a God of strategy. He created the water first before he created fish. He created the land first before he created human beings. Can you imagine God first creating fish before you now say, hey, where will this fish even be safe? Is it what? Oh, let me quickly create water. All the fishes would have died. He created the plants first before he created the animals that will eat the plants. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? God is a God of strategy. And that's the same way with our life. God has a plan for our life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thought I think towards you, the thoughts of good and the thoughts of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Bible, some versions call it an expected end. God is a God of planning. God is a God of strategy. Somebody with me tonight shout a big hallelujah. So planning is key to a glorious future. Most of the time when believers don't do well, it's not devil, it's lack of planning. Most of the time when believers don't, it's not devil. Devil is not omnipresent. He's not. He can't be with you all the time. A lot of times, many don't have any plan. So, if you can plan well, you will live well. So, let us note the following things about planning before I finish this foundation of this message and I do go to the main body of the message. Let us note the following about planning. Number A, planning stage is more important than execution stage. Hello. Planning stage of anything you want to do is more important than the execution stage. If you have plan, how many of us have seen the plan of houses before? A plan of a house. Can I see your hand? A house, maybe not just all these ramshackle houses of a real house. Yeah. There has to be a plan. They will say, this is where the room will be. This is where this one will be. This is where the kitchen will be. This is where the restroom will be. This is where... I hope you are getting what I'm saying now. When the builders get there, they just open the plan and they move to site. Why? There is a plan. If there was no plan, they would just stay there. They would say, put parlor here. Put kitchen here. Put reading room here. Everything will now look what? Disorganized. So you have, when you enter into the house, you first enter into the master's bedroom. Then you now go to the parlor. Then from the parlor, you enter the kitchen. From the kitchen, then you now from there, you enter into the children's room. Because why? There's no plan. Planning stage is more important than execution stage. And I'll talk more about this on Sunday. My message on Sunday, don't miss it for anything. Because I'll be moving from this level where we are now. Because there are various levels of planning. What I'm treating tonight is called personal planning. There's what we call personal planning. Then we now move to what we call planning for the family. I don't want to call it family planning so that you don't mix it up. But we will still talk about family planning too. So there's what we call personal planning. There's what we call family planning or planning for the family. There's what we call institutional or organizational planning. If we have time, we'll treat that this year. If there's no time, we'll move it to next year. Then we have what we call national planning. That's what Nigeria lacks. These are the four stages of planning. But tonight, we are here for what? Personal planning. Sunday, we will move to the issue of the family. Let's go. Number two thing to note about planning. A man or woman with no plan may never succeed in life. No matter how talented the person is, no matter how gifted the person is, he may never succeed if he has no plan for his life. See, thing to note about planning. God will always honor those who plan. Proverbs 16 verse 11. The preparation of the heart is man. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparation of the heart is man. The matter of preparation is for man. The answer to how it will work out is God. Hello. D. Thing to note about planning. You are the one to do the plan and bring it to God. God will not plan for you. You are the one that will do the plan and then bring it to God. God will not. Now, quickly tonight, having concluded the foundation, what is planning? What is planning? Planning is a design of a step-by-step approach to accomplishing a set of goals. Planning is a design of a step-by-step approach to accomplishing a set of goals. What is planning? It is a written list of arranged action necessary to achieve desired goals. Planning is a written list of arranged action necessary to achieve your desired goals. I'm trying to be slow so that you can get it very well. Number three, what is planning? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? It is ordering one's priority in a bid to accomplish a given task. Ordering your priority so that you can accomplish your task. That's planning. Planning means ordering your priority so that you can accomplish your task. Somebody been blessed already? Shout a big hallelujah. Number four. What is planning? It is deciding in advance what should be done, how it should be done, and who will do it. Planning is deciding in advance what should be done, how it should be done, and who will do it, and when it will be done. That's planning. Deciding in advance what should be done, how it should be done, when it should be done, who will do it, and of course, what is planning? Planning is bringing the future into the present. Planning is bringing the future into the present. Bringing the future into a future that you have not entered into, you bring it to your presence through your planning. You work on it, then you now see it in reality. Examples of those who secure the glorious future through planning and preparation. Examples of those that secure the glorious future through planning. Number one is Jotham in 2 Chronicles chapter 27 verse 6. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. So Jotham became mighty. Why? Because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. How did he become mighty? He prepared his way before his Lord and his God. That is what made him mighty. If you are going to be great in 2025, you must prepare your way now. You must plan now. Not that you just enter into the new year. You just say, what am I even going to do this year, self? How am I even going to go about this year, self? What is my goal? I don't even know. Before you know, 4 months has gone. He prepared his way before the Lord. Number two, examples of those who enter the glorious future via planning. Joseph, in Genesis 41, verse 33 to 37, Bible says that he was able to, now, therefore, let Pharaoh, that was plan, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Now, wait, before I go into this scripture. Many people think that Joseph became great because he interpreted the dream. Many people think that because he had the gift of interpretation of dream, that was what made him blessed. Yes and no. You are not entirely right and you are not entirely wrong. The reason is because if it was just that he interpreted the dream, they would have just given him a car or a horse or a wife or some money. That wasn't the thing. He interpreted the dream, yes. But he planned how he brought solution. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Not that he just, don't tell me you have gift. You have gift, but you have to plan. Now look at that in that scripture again. That same scripture, Genesis. Now, let Pharaoh do this. Can you see that? Plan. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, the years when things were very plenty. And lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years. There are some years coming, year called the years of famine. Prepare now when there's plenty food, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That was what brought Joseph into limelight. That plan was what changed the trajectory for Joseph. Not that he just had a gift to interpret dreams. The third example of somebody who secured a glorious future through planning is Noah. God was tired of the people of the world because they were bad, bad people. And God said, I am going to destroy everybody. Genesis chapter 6, and starting from verse 8. I'm going to destroy the world, but Noah, you, I will spare you. You have found favor in my sight. Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Go to verse 17 because of time. 17 to 19. And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. He said, but with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. God wanted to destroy the whole heart. And he said, I am going to spare you. But I'm going to give you the plan of something called an ark. You have to plan for it. You have to construct it. You have to make sure it's well built. And then you can go into it. And that was exactly what he did. He went with the plan. It took time to construct the ark of safety. And he went in with his family. And he was spared. And he had a glorious future. You are the next to have a glorious future. Amen. I say you are the next to have a glorious future. Amen. So planning is very vital. And like I said, there are dimensions of planning. There's personal planning, which we are treating today. There's planning for the family, which we'll go into very deep on Sunday. Then there's institutional or organizational planning, and there's national planning. So tonight, let's go deeper into personal planning. Personal planning has to do with you in particular, you as a human being. planning your life. It is doing something today about your tomorrow with the appropriate time frame. Personal planning is doing something today about your tomorrow with appropriate time frame. To be a first class person, you must have a first class plan. To be a first class person, you must have a first class plan. And note, in doing your personal planning, there's what we call short-term planning and long-term planning. Short-term planning are plannings of 3 months plan, 6 months plan, sometimes up to 1 year plan, sometimes. But long-term planning are planning that are elongated with years. In 2 years, this is I should have done this. In 3 years, this is what I should have achieved. In 5 years, this is what I should be doing. In 10 years, I should have been able to. That's long-term planning. Every one of it is important, both short-term and long-term. If you are with me tonight, shout a big hallelujah. So, because of time, I only have about 20 minutes more. I want to launch us tonight to how to plan well for your future. Do I have a good plan for my future? We'll look at that tonight. Then we'll begin to pray. If you are ready for this, shout a big hallelujah. Number one, know God's plan for your life. If you have a good plan for your future, you must know God's plan for your life. What is God's plan for your life? What exactly did God plan for you? What exactly do you know that if you don't know God's plan for your life? We are fasting now. Don't stop fasting after the fasting today. Continue for 3 days. You don't need more than 3 days to know God's plan for your life. 3 days of fasting with the Bible. And you and God. God, speak to me. Let me know your plan. He will tell you. If you don't know God's plan for your life, there's no way you can enter into a good future. What is God's plan? Father, what is your plan? How do I go about this business? How do I go about this ministry? How do I go about being a good wife? What is your plan for my future? What? He can even show you a picture of your future. Somebody is here tonight. God will reveal to you his plan for you in the name of Jesus. Number two, how do you plan well for your future? Secure relevant information for good decision making. If you are going to do well in your future, you must secure good information. Find out about what is necessary. Find out about prices of things you want to do, you want to buy. Compare prices. Compare, do positive comparisons. Get information on what you want to study. How relevant is what you want to study? Because there are some courses that when you study it, it's as if you did not even go to school. You can speak good English, but the course is not relevant in the market. Find out relevant information that will help you in your planning. Look out for options that you have. Find out relevant information that will facilitate your decision making. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. So if you are going to have a good plan for your future, ladies and gentlemen, you must find out relevant information. And that's where reading comes in. We are in an information age. You can easily get information on almost anything on the internet. That plan you have, which information do you have about that plan? You just say, I just wish to. You wish to, but you don't have any information. You don't know. Okay, somebody now, for example, wants to study. You want to study electrical engineering. Yet, you don't like maths and you don't like physics. How? How do you want to do it? You don't like maths, you don't like physics, but you just want to be an electrical engineer. You must have relevant information. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I hear a loud amen? Amen? Number three, How to plan well for your future? Make a detailed plan. Make a detailed plan. Many prepare for their wedding, but don't prepare for their marriage. So before you get married, make a detailed plan. Don't just plan for the occasion. Plan for the actual marriage, which is the after the occasion itself, not the ceremony alone, but what happens after. Hello. I pray for somebody here today. May the wisdom of planning rest upon you in Jesus' name. May you not just plan for just one day event without planning for a lifetime event. May you not just be concentrated on just one day ceremony while ignoring the entire future left for you in the name of Jesus. It's lack of plan that makes a person who is planning for wedding to borrow so much that in 5 years you are still paying debt. It's lack of planning. It's lack of planning. Make a detailed plan. I don't want to talk too much on all this because I will go very deep into these matters on Sunday, when I'll be talking about the planning for the family and how the family can become better. Somebody with me, shout a big hallelujah. Number four, how to plan well for your future. Write down your plan. Is it Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 2 that tells us to write the vision and make it plain upon the table? That it may run that readeth it. Listen to me, everyone, I stand upon my watch. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the table that it may run that readeth it. If you have a plan, it must be in writing. Don't assume that you just think you know your plan. No, it doesn't work that way. Do you know God won't take you serious if you don't have a written plan? You know, you can easily forget your plan. You can easily forget your plan. So any plan must be written down. Make it a habit to plan in writing. You need to have a plan, spending plan. Plan for everything. Write it down. Write down your plan. How can you be planning to borrow to buy clothes for Christmas? It shows that you lack wisdom. Can you write it down and say, I'm going to borrow 60,000 to buy Christmas clothes and I will use 40,000 to sew it? You can't write it. It looks somehow. That's why you must write it down. When you write that, you read it again, you say, how will I do this? You must write down your plan. Anything you want for the future, this is the time you start planning it. You start writing it down little by little. You start like 1 week, so 2 might come today. 3 might come tomorrow. 1 might come in the night. As God is giving you revelation, you write it down on the plan. These are the things that makes people to pray. When you don't have a written down plan, when you don't have anything you are pursuing, when they say it's fasting and prayer, when they say let us worship God, when they say let us pray, you don't have any momentum or drive to pray because you don't have any written down plan. You don't have anything. You have not planned anything. And once you don't have a plan, things will be plain. Everything will just look blank. No pursuit, no momentum. No drive to wake up in the morning to get up and go out. Because there's no plan. There's nothing to pursue. There's nothing you are believing God for. You are not believing God for anything. You did not write anything down. Somebody said, I will write down my plan. Somebody said, I will write down my plan. Somebody said, I will write down my plan. And they will come to pass. Somebody said, I will write down my plan. And they will come to pass. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Number five, how to strategy for a glorious future. Number five, seek the face of God concerning your plan. Seek the face of God concerning your plan. You are to plan, then you now bring your plan before God. God, oh, I am selling so thing. And my total turnover for 2024 is 1 million. Oh God, I want to shift it to 10 million. I want to move 10 times, 10x my sales. That's my plan. And this is what I want to do. I will wake up early. I will get to my shop earlier than before. I will do this. I will do that. I will serve my customers better. You put all strategy before God, and God will now lead you on what to do. Not that you will just sit down. You just say, I'm waiting for God. Many will say they are waiting on God. No, God is actually waiting on you. Many will say, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. No, God is the one waiting on you because you don't plan. Anybody that will succeed in 2025 must seek the face of God. And shortly, as we enter into the year 2025, in a matter of a few days now, we'll begin to contend in the place of prayer. You will begin to seek the face of God. Everybody that will enjoy a good future must learn to seek the face of God. No wonder in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 and 19, he said, 18 particularly, he said, come, let us reason together. He said, come, seek my face, let's reason together. Isaiah 1:18, let's reason together. Come. I pray for somebody here tonight. God will give you the grace in the name of Jesus. You cannot afford to be careless with your life. You cannot afford to live a life where you don't seek God. It's a careless life. Okay, you sought God last year and everything did not come to pass. Listen to me. If you did not seek God, things would have been worse for you. Just go and ask anybody. I'm telling you that. If you did not seek God, I saw God last year and then things were very tough. If you did not seek God at all, things would have been very bad for you, more than it is. But when you seek God, Proverbs 4 verse 18 will work for you, which is the path of the just is like a shining light. And it will shine more and more until the perfect day. No matter the challenges you have this year, next year will be better for you in the name of Jesus. Next year will be better for you in the name of Jesus. So seek the face of God. Tell him your spiritual plans. Lord, I normally fast once a while. Now I want to be fasting twice a week. Lord, my Bible study life is weak. Please help me to read my Bible every day. Lord, my career is as if I'm not moving well. What am I not doing right? Help me. I want to move up the ladder very fast. I want to obtain favor from my superiors. Show me. Those are the products of seeking the face of God. And I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. You present your plans before him, your financial goals, your marital goals. You present your goals before God. These are my goals. These are the things I want. All these things must be written down. Not that you enter 2025 and say, what am I even going to do this year, Seth? What is my plan, Seth? No, that's not how it works. This year that you are about to end, you write it down. So much so that God will say, this boy, you are well trained. The pastor has really trained you very well. The way you are presenting it to me, that's why we do it for you. Somebody is here. Every of your plans, even in as we enter the new year, within the first 30 days, everything has come to pass. Yes. Say loud, amen. Amen. So plan very well. Seek the face of God. Seek the face of God for empowerment. Seek the face of God for empowerment. Okay. How can you be planning to go to your village for Christmas now when you don't have power yet? You need to seek the face of God for empowerment. My advice to you is that if your village is a wicked village, this Christmas, just stay where you are. Except you have collected power. Because some villages, they are waiting for some people this Christmas. Because of the economy, the witches there have become very wicked now. You have money to come to village when everybody is saying that petrol is 1,100. So except you have been well empowered very well, just stay where you are. Enter the new year before you know what you are doing. Praise the Lord. Somebody is here, God will take you to spiritual maturity. I say somebody is here, God will take you to spiritual maturity. Let me tell you, one of the things that will help you as you plan for the new year is to build up momentum for the new year.
build up momentum.
Build up momentum very well. So that you tell the devil, what the suffering you made me suffer before, I'm not ready to go again into the new year and be and for you to start delaying me. You build, you prepare yourself like Jotham before the Lord. Somebody say a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number what are we now? Number seven? Program yourself. I'm talking about that strategy for that glorious future. Program yourself. Always program your plan with time slots and deadlines. Don't just have a plan. Let your plan have deadlines. I will get married so time. I will, by God's grace, start my business so month. Put deadlines there. Some of you are so timid that you are so scared that maybe there are some things that are too big for God to do. What is it in your plan that God has not done before? Is it that you want to travel, or you want to build a house, or you want double promotion, or you want a blessing? What is it that you want that somebody has never had before? Just tell me. Anything that you want, anything you may desire, God has done it for somebody before. You are the next. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. Anything God has done for somebody, he can do it for you. A wise man said, if God is blessing your neighbor, it means he is in your neighborhood. So anything you have seen God do for others, he can do it for you. So don't be scared to ask God that, God, this is what I want. Pray for somebody here tonight. That will be your testimony. Amen. As you program your plan for 2025, God will bring it to pass. Amen. As I begin to round up, number eight, always pursue your plan. If you have a glorious future, pursue your plan. No one will pursue your plan for you. You want to wake up in the night now to be praying every night. Who is going to do it for you? You are the one. You want to make sure that throughout 2025, you never miss a time of giving your wife soup money. Who is going to do it for you? You are the one that will do it. You want to make sure that you are never late to church or to work throughout 2025. Who is going to do it for you? It's you. Pursue your plan. That plan God has placed in your heart. Pursue it. Pursue it. Overtake. Recover all. This is a time of planning. And I pray for you tonight that you'll be successful in the name of Jesus. Amen. He that fails to plan has planned to fail. If you, after all this I've said tonight, you don't plan anything, you have planned something else. And failure will never be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. An uncommon life requires an uncommon plan. An uncommon life requires an uncommon plan. Nobody can attain an uncommon life without an uncommon plan. Anybody you see that is so successful, they have uncommon plans. Praying does not replace planning. Praying does not replace planning. You cannot pray, then you don't plan. That's why those are very, very people that are very close to me. One of the things I always make sure they have is diary. You must have a diary where you record your plans, where you record your strategy, where you plan for the day. In conclusion, let me read Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4, and I will close. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Say, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. My prayer for you tonight is that from tonight, as you begin to document your plan, those plans will receive the strength of the Almighty. Those plans will receive assistance from heaven. Yeah. Every of your plans, as you pen them down, heaven will mark them for you. Yeah. Heaven will make them come to pass in your life. Yeah. As you make your plan, God will make those plans to see reality. Yeah. You will not only be planning on paper, your plans will see reality. Yeah. Your plan will come to fruition. Yeah. Your plan will come to existence. It is planned on paper today. It will be reality tomorrow. So shall it be. Rise on your feet, people. Let's give God praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you are clapping for Jesus, you can do it better. Lift your hands. Let's thank Him tonight. Let's bless His holy name. Let's worship Him tonight. Let's give Him all the praise. Let's bless His holy name. Father, we worship You. Father, we give You praise. Father, we exalt You. Father, we magnify You. Thank Him tonight for the word He has sent to you and I. Father, we glorify You. We worship You. We worship You. We worship You. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Come on, sing like never before.
Sing like never before.
Worship His holy name.
Worship His holy
name. Sing, bless the Lord.
Tonight, you are here under the sound of my voice, or you are connected to us in all our churches, or in all or anywhere around the world. You want to secure a glorious future, but you want to first make your ways right with God. You want me to pray with you. You want me to agree with you. You want to ask God for mercy. Not that you are a bad person, but you want to straighten your path with God. You want to ensure that things are okay, 100% between you and God. I want to pray with you. Anywhere you are, just where you are standing, I want to pray with you. Online, on ground, just lift up your right hand and I will pray with you. Anywhere you are, just lift up your right hand and I will pray with you. Your conscience is telling you, let the pastor pray with you. Your heart is telling you, let the pastor pray with you. God is telling you, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My my burden is light. With your right hand lifted. Also, you want to break an addiction. You want to say no to a particular lifestyle. You want a brand new lifestyle in Christ. You want the help of God afresh. I want to pray with you also. Anywhere you are, just lift up your right hand and I will pray with you. Now, with your right hand lifted, say after me, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me my past sins. As your son, as your daughter, please have mercy on me. Cleanse me afresh. By your grace, help me to please you in all areas. Help me to live for you. I declare Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to us. We believe you are blessed. For more messages and inquiry, check www.impacthousechurch.org. God bless you. We appreciate you.